to love the Lord your God. Commentary for the October 23rd, 2021 Sabbath School Lesson by Stephen Terry, Director, Stillwaters Ministry, www.visitstillwaters.com. So then the law is holy, and the commandment is holy, righteous, and good. Romans 7:12. Many are familiar with Francis of Assisi, a mendicant friar of the early 13th century. Beatified by the Catholic Church, his feast day is in October. He was noted for his love of God's creation and was especially caring toward animals. For the former, he was made the patron saint of ecology in the 1970s. And for the latter, many Catholics bring their pets and other animals to their priest in October for a special blessing associated with his feast day. Many of his legendary encounters with animals are recorded in the apocryphal testament, Little Flowers. We have provided a link to this online document in our written copy found at our website. He was a peaceful man who humbly sought to work within the church to promote a message of Christ-like living. He was ordained a deacon, but never achieved priesthood. Nonetheless, he carried the gospel everywhere, both through his preaching and the example of his lifestyle. He even tried to bring about reconciliation between a Muslim ruler in Egypt and the crusaders invading his country. These and many other accounts of his life can be read about in his Wikipedia biography. Francis' life showed a complete commitment to the law of God, not as 10 commandments carved into stone tablets, but as 2 living precepts carved into the human heart. He chose to love God with all his heart, mind, and soul, and to love his neighbor as himself. Succinctly, he simply chose to love. In a time when a corrupt church was amassing wealth and power in Rome, instead of challenging the church for its faults, he simply chose to model his own life after Christ's and to preach about the joy of a relationship with Jesus. He found that not only people responded to the love of God, but all of creation seemed to respond to its influence. As a result, he found it needful to preach to the animals and freely did so. Whether they sensed that love or were simply curious, many accounts testify that the animals trusted and were drawn to him. At a time when most religions, including Christianity, seemed to be riven with internal political battles, and where many are more interested in railing upon one another than in loving each other, the example of his life continues to speak to the modern world, just like the Savior he served. We live in a society that has gone so far that some justify evil, disrespect, and even violence by claiming that they are lovingly straightening the other person out. The cry aloud and spare not crowd do not appear to believe in the persuasive power of love alone. If love does not persuade, they feel justified in resorting to ever stronger means of persuasion. This is the spirit that in the past gave us the Christian crusades and the Muslim jihads. If, as we hear so often, God is love, then surely this blackens his character to have his followers resorting to such activities. Sadly, it is possible to keep all the 10 commandments without a single drop of love in one's heart. But it is impossible to keep God's 2 commandments and not fulfill every requirement of the law. We can fall into the error of a legalism that believes that keeping the Decalogue is the key to salvation, but that can be a slippery slope to legalistic obedience if one is not careful. They can convict us of sinful acts, but they do not instill in us a loving heart. Instead, they can drive us to the one who can give us new hearts. This can only happen if we flee Sinai and run to Christ. Sinai could not free Israel, and they wandered 40 years in the wilderness in a macabre march of death until an entire generation was gone. With their passing rose the hope that a new generation could wish to emulate the character of God. Instead, they continued the ways of their forebears. When faced with a smaller foe at Ai, they resorted to their own strength, just as our fathers did in going up to Canaan in the previous generation, and met with the same result as their fathers. Defeated in battle, they lamented their lot. An Israelite, Achan, had chosen to fill his heart with a lust for wealth instead of love for God and his fellow Israelite. In stealing a wedge of gold and some costly garments, he betrayed his people without regard to evil consequences. In the end, he gave up both wealth and his life. This parallels the rich young ruler who came to Jesus, claiming to be keeping the Ten Commandments. But in the end, Jesus revealed his heart lusted for wealth, not a love for God or his neighbor. Given the hold that a desire to be wealthy can have on a person's heart, the disciples question whether anyone who has chosen wealth could be saved from that lust. But Jesus assured them that God specializes in impossibilities. If God can replace a heart of stone with one of flesh, he can recreate a greedy, self-centered narcissist into a humble saint like Francis. His Holy Spirit, able to be present everywhere, is engaged in doing exactly that for many. He draws them to give their lives to Christ, to begin walking in a new direction. With every step, some of the old stoniness falls away, to be replaced with the lovely luster of the character of God. God knows that beneath the stony surface in each heart, precious gems are waiting to be discovered and restored. He knows exactly what chiseling and burnishing will bring forth the luster of a heavenly character. The process may at times seem painful, but for those who persist, the end is glorious. It is said that couples who have long been married, over time, grow to resemble one another in character. The same is true in our walk with God. As we draw closer to Him, we feel He is doing the same until we realize he has been close all along. We were the ones who wandered, like a child with their family at the seashore. We have been distracted chasing a colorful beach ball. Eventually, our tummy tells us it is lunchtime. So we forget the ball and look around, but we do not see our parents, nor does the beach look familiar where we are. We wander about and only get more confused. Unable to find our way back, we start to cry. Someone hears that fearful cry and has been looking for us. Soon there is a familiar hand to lead us back to where we belong. Even our growling stomach rejoices. There is something that draws a child home to family. There is a feeling of love and safety there. It is the same with God. The Bible tells us that we were created in His image, both male and female. This means we were created to both give and receive love. Part of that gift is a feedback loop. While we love God supremely, His love also flows back to us. As that loop repeats, it grows in intensity. The same can happen with our love for others. Creation teaches us that what we give returns to us manyfold. When one plants a single withered kernel of corn in the ground, it returns more plump kernels of corn than can be held in both hands. According to Genesis, when God created the earth, He provided four rivers for water that flowed from Eden. When he created man, his intent was to create through humanity fountains of love as well to bless the world. We have wandered so far from that intent. We're invited to return to loving our Creator that we might love our neighbor too. Love for our neighbor is evidence of our love for God, while hatred or even indifference toward our neighbor is evidence that love for God is lacking as well. When there is anyone we do not love, we stumble in our relationship with God. When we live in fear of others and what they might do, we also testify that we do not love God, for love drives out fear. Evil looks to control through fear, but love from a source deeper than the source of evil is not overcome by evil. Though the body be destroyed, love endures. It transcended death at the cross and laid bare the stark contrast between hatred and love. Hatred is chaos and dissonance. Love is harmony and service. Those familiar with music know that harmony does not mean uniformity. Only out of diversity can the symphony of the universe be heard, as each note, each created being, complements the others in glorious praise and love for God. Dissonance brings the clash of conflict and the overpowering of the weak in subservience to the strong. It is the antithesis to love of God and humanity. Both are playing to our audience. Will we walk toward God or away? Will we sing his song, the song of creation, or that of another? Will our heart soften or grow ever harder? Can you hear his song calling you? Will you give your heart to dance with God? Thank you for listening to this commentary. You can find the written form of this commentary, as well as many other commentaries like it, at our website at www.visitstillwaters.com. May God richly bless you and your family.